4 and 5 year olds, children's church. Yay! Can I go too? Do y'all have candy y'all give them or something? I want some. Oh my. Miss Mary, there's a bunch of them. Praise the Lord. You got a helper? Well, that's no, he's about 6 years old. He didn't require. You're not going? Oh, no, she's well qualified. Yeah, you sit down. Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Going to be in the Word of God. We're about to start. We have started a series. We're on the second part of it today. They're all, you know, stand alone. But this series that I'm on is having the joy of your salvation restored. A restoration sermon series. Being restored. One of the major themes of the Bible is restoration. There are others. We'll talk about some of that in a little bit as well later on in the sermon. But one of the major things that we need to understand is God is a God who restores. And I thank Him for that every day. Because there's some days I need it more than others. You know how that goes? Life happens. So we're going to be in the Word of God this morning. I want to talk to you about something. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. So if you got your Bibles, you want to follow along, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And if you would please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, which is biblical out of Nehemiah. The Bible tells us all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful scripture that you've given to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So the Bible is the Word of God. Well, let me give you a news flash. Not everyone believes that. Not everyone believes that the Bible is the Word of God. So is the Bible really the Word of God, I guess, what the question becomes. I mean, who told you that the Bible is the Word of God? Was it a preacher sometime in your youth? Yeah, Stephen's pointing at me. That's good. That's all right. Was it a Sunday school teacher? Or maybe you don't believe that this is the Word of God. There may be someone here today that is doubting that this is the Word of God. So I've got a question for you, church. How do you defend that? How can you, without a doubt, tell someone who does not believe that this is the Word of God? Because your Sunday school teacher told you? That don't cut it. I'm going to come. She wants to know if I'm going to quiz you all like I quiz her. Yes, I will. Was it because a pastor, when you got saved, when you were 8 years old at VBS, told you this and that's what you believe? How is that going to hold up? I'm talking about something that could hold up in a court of law. Is that enough proof for you? That would convict you? Can you defend it, church? Well, after today, after this sermon, I pray that you're much better equipped to do that, because the Bible says to equip. Coming to that in a moment as well. So let's dig into this morning. This is going to be fun. See, here's the thing. The greatest question of all, and that is the Bible really the Word of God? Well, if it's not, then we are wasting our time. And I'm wasting my time and energy. I'd rather be doing other things if I don't believe this. But here I am. Why? Because I believe this, but I have to be able to prove that belief for those that do not believe. It's not just a touchy-feely kind of thing either. But if it is, and I stand before you and tell you it is, then nothing else can compare in importance. Nothing. Nothing. And I believe, and we believe, many of us here, that the Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God. And the question becomes, Why? Can you answer that, church? So here's where we are. The first thing we're going to see is because of its unity and perfection. Yes. And this is a library of books, you know. How many books? 66. Okay. 66 different books. It is a library. There's 40 different authors. Spans the time of 1,600 years of coming together. That's not just overnight. You know, we see that the common theme, we can all agree on one central theme being redemption. From Christ, through the blood of Christ, we are redeemed for our sins. Another one is restoring, restoration. But the main central theme is redemption in Christ. There is no comparison in the literature. And when you look at literature, there's no comparison. It is a giant. It stands alone. It is perfect, and it is in unity. It is altogether perfect. So here we go. Any great classics that you can think of that are novels? Yeah. Think of those books you like. None come close to this. None. There's books written by cults. Can't compare to this. There's demonic worship that they have their books. Can't come close to this. Darwin's evolutionist theory. Can't come close to this. And you know that is a theory, by the way. You do understand that theories are not proven. It's never going to get proved, by the way. I can make a case for that as well. This is proven for centuries and centuries. There are no contradictions, even though you might think, well, this book says this and this book says that about the same thing. You got to understand the context of what it's dealing with, a different audience, a different people groups, a different time, it could be geography. The main central theme stays intact. It is perfect and it's unified. Perfect. There are no contradictions. It is infallible. The next thing we see is we see that it is the Word of God because of its fulfilled prophecy. Well, who can make that claim? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, a prophecy is predicting the future in this context. The Bible is full of prophecies. Men of the Bible wrote down centuries ago of things that are just now happening and we have yet to happen, and they are perfect. They have hit the mark. We want to look at prophecy. I give you a book to study. Read it. Book of Daniel. Look at my Bible students out there. Yeah. Talk about a book of prophecy. Want to read another one? Revelation. A lot of that is what yet is to come, but there's already some that has already happened. The return of Israel. It's what we call this dispersion that was predicted. The diaspora Jews, they came back. Everything that's happened to the Jewish people has been prophesied in the scriptures, and it has come true. We can talk about Jesus, the prophecies of the Christ. Well, let's see. Isaiah 7:14, his birth was prophesied. And it happened exactly as he said it would. The place of his birth, being in Bethlehem, it was in Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. If you have a question for me, I can back up everything I'm telling you today with scripture. It has been inspired. It has been for reproof. Even his rejection and his death was prophesied in Isaiah. He already knew this was going to happen. Isaiah in chapter 53, that's a good chapter to read about the rejection and death of Jesus Christ, written centuries before. There's prophecies of concerning the last days. I truly believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're a lot closer today than we were yesterday. A whole lot closer today than we were 2,000 years ago. A whole lot closer. The return of the Jews to their homeland, it was predicted and prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 37. Look it up. This happened on May 14th, 1948. The Jews were designated and were called a sovereign state. The Bible prophesied this was going to happen. Am I building a case? We're getting ready to go to court. And the rise of Russia. And some might believe the rise of China. It's in the same geographic. But this rise of Russia, Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. There's some interesting stuff in Ezekiel. I love it when them dry bones start coming back. God can raise the dead. He can do anything he wants. So here we are because of its fulfilled prophecy. That's another point that we need to consider. Here's a third one because of its scientific accuracy. What? You're going to talk about science? Well, the Bible is not primarily a book of science. Agreed? But, there's that word. When it speaks of it, when it speaks of a scientific fact, it is correct. What are you talking about? Well, we look in Genesis for the creation of man. The creation of man in Genesis chapter 1. And we look in Genesis chapter 2 that God said, let us. That's so cool right there. So that tells me he was with someone else. Let us make man in our own image. I love that. Each and every one of you. I'm going to get off. Each and every one of us are made in the image of God. Now, this ought to cause us to stop and ponder a moment in how we are treating ourselves and our bodies. Because what we do to our bodies, we're doing actually to God. And he gave us some things that are just, the Bible tells it. What's the word we were discussing in 2 Corinthians? To have modesty. What is that word? To cover up. Mm-hmm. To cover up. God made us in his image. Why do we want to show the world things that were kept for just for yourselves and for your husband or your wife? There's life in the blood in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Without blood, there is no life. We understand that. That's a basic concept of the human body or any type of mammal or animal that has blood. Without blood, it dies. Without blood, there is no life. It goes with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no life. That's based on scientific accuracy. Don't worry, I'll pull it all together in a moment. Don't get nervous. Here we are. The roundness of the earth. Oh, I love this one. Do you know there's some people believe the earth is flat? Now, don't make fun of them. We just need to enlighten them. Don't ever judge. Don't ever make fun. Because when someone believes something, they are sincere about that belief. I know. What's this guy? I forgot his name. He shot up in a rocket the other day to prove the earth was flat. This was recent in California. He landed pretty hard. He liked to dodge. He wanted, ladies and gentlemen, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. If you want to turn there with me, follow me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Scriptures tell us it is he, it is God who sits above the circle of the earth. It's round. And the earth, where is it? Suspended. In space? Ah, Job. Job chapter 26, verse 7. He stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. The earth hangs on nothing. In space. It's a scientific accuracy. It's accurate to say this. And because, and here's a I'm going to give you a couple other points that are not in your notes, so just take your notes as you can. This is some lanya. I threw some more stuff in there. I'm building a case. Here's the fourth thing that we see that the Bible is the Word of God because its accuracy is guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Even he said some things that guaranteed that this is how it is. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, he says, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Is the earth going to end one day? Yes. All of this will pass away. None of this will exist anymore. But the Word of God exists forever. Do you know what else exists for eternity? The soul of mankind. Every soul, every person has a soul. It will last for eternity. Now the question becomes, I'm going to save this one for the end. Where are you going to spend eternity? Hang on to that one. Hang on to that one. I don't want to let too much out of the bag right now. All right. The scriptures cannot be broken, Jesus said. The scriptures cannot be broken, John 10, verse 35. He says also in Mark 14, 49, the scriptures must be fulfilled. See, Jesus did not come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he says the scriptures in Mark, they said they will be fulfilled. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news for us. For those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternity in a really nice place. But I'm going to tell you, on the opposite end of that spectrum, that other place is not a good place. You know, people tend to glorify hell. They say it's not a bad place. All my friends are going to be there. Let me tell you something. You won't have no friends in hell. Not a one. And it's real. It's no big deal. I'm going to live my life the way I want. Yeah, you sure can. But you can't see Brother Marvin didn't tell you about hell. I'll tell you about heaven all day long. And the streets paved with gold. I use that one all the time. Asphalt. You're going to be walking on gold like it's nothing. What we treasure here on earth will fall away. Moths and will destroy all of this. That eternity is forever. Here's some other things that men in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Greek or the Hebrew word for anthropos, mankind. It's not gender, okay? I want you to understand that. When I say it, it's mankind, it's anthropos. Here's some things that men and women disbelieve in the Bible are confirmed by Christ. They disbelieve creation. Christ confirmed it in that Matthew 19. They disbelieve Noah and the ark. People say that never happened. There's actually beginning to be some evidence pop up about this. Makes sense to me. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Jesus affirmed Noah and the ark. Sodom, Gomorrah. Did all of that happen in Sodom? Well, some people don't believe that. In Luke 17, verse 29, Jesus assures us that Sodom and Gomorrah met their demise. And that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt when she looked back. Why did she look back? I don't know. Jonah. 3 days in the belly of a fish. Symbolizes 3 days of Christ in the grave. There's a lot. I have a sermon series put together years ago on Jonah. It's not only 4 weeks. But in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, I'm giving you specific scriptures for a reason. I'm building a case. Jesus affirmed that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of that fish. Anybody fish or ever clean fish? Huh? You ever open up the fish, see what it eats? Yeah, you do that. It stinks, though. Put yourself in that stomach. See, not only will hell be hot, it's going to stink. Why? Because the brimstone is burning sulfur. Any of you ever been around sulfur? It stinks. And it's burning day in and day out and night and day forever. We'll be around fire and brimstone. It's worse than the belly of the fish. But Jesus affirms us, even for those who do not believe, that this happened. So because of its accuracy, it's guaranteed by Jesus Christ is another point. Here's another point I want to make, because it works. Yeah, those are not up there. These are some lanyap, some extras. Because it works. Because it works. You see, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, let me, if you want to turn there real quick for me. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. This is why the Bible works. This is when the jailer was converted. This is what Paul and Silas told the jailer. It's incredible. They said, Paul and Silas said to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Man, I love that. And that comes, how can the whole house be saved? And man, well, the family follows. It's biblical. The man is a spiritual leader of the home. Oh, I can make a case for that one too, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. But they told that jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." That works. There's more to come, though. And they did get saved. Here we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I like this. I use this one when I do a baptism. I say very softly, just for me and the one being baptized. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." I love that. We're nothing but creatures, humans. "The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You like new things? They usually work better. An old truck. I love an old truck. But what do you get when you get an old truck? Work. We got one of our congregants back there shining up ports on the head, right? Making that old, going to make that old truck run good again. But it's still going to be an old truck. Right, my brother? It's going to look good, going to sound good, going to have a lot of horsepower, going to be fast, but it's not a new truck. See, when Jesus touches your life and he grabs a hold of your heart and you submit and you become his, if we are in Christ, we become a new creature. "The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." That's good stuff, because it works. And I go back to the scripture that I dealt with for a moment ago. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It works. It works when we follow it. The life of a pastor. Now, I heard somebody was interviewed on TV the other day, a teacher. That she was a teacher because she loved children. You know, I can see that. And I told Mona, I said, "You know what? come to the conclusion that I believe that I'm a pastor because I love people. I generally do love people. Or I wouldn't be speaking before you this way with this in my hand. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It works. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to let the word work in you. Not me. Oh my goodness, don't ever put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in a deacon. Don't put your faith in anyone else other than one, and that is Christ Jesus himself. I meant no respect to the deacons. They know that. They're men just like me. And everyone else in here is a man and a woman. We make mistakes. We fall. We falter. But Jesus. Let this be turned loose in your life and see what happens. But we just want to hold on to that old stuff. And I love an old truck. I wonder if Ron is going to let me drive his truck when he's done. Thumbs up, he said. Are we going to light them? Oh, no, we're not going to light them tires up. Okay, we don't do that, right? That would be illegal. Let's not go there. And it costs money. No, we're just, yeah. I'm a man. I like that sound of that Harley Davidson. Here's the last thing about, how about do we respond to the teaching? This is all good stuff. I mean, you're going to walk away from here hopefully inspired to let the word of let this word work in you, to let this be turned loose in your life and to respond to its teaching. And my goodness, watch how God can take that and take you from where you are to a place you didn't ever think you could ever achieve. Yeah. So what does this mean to me? So what should we do? You see, because of its unity and its perfection, because of its fulfilled prophecy, because of its scientific accuracy, and because its accuracy is guaranteed by Jesus Christ himself, and because it works. Because it works, mankind is given an opportunity to have eternal life with the Father because of Jesus. This is it. See, evolutionists believe in something that they can't prove. And I take offense of saying I come after a monkey. No way. If that's the case, why are there still monkeys? I didn't come from no monkey. Yeah, that's funny, all right. I didn't come from no monkey. It can't be proven. It's a theory. It'll never be proven. See, Christians believe in something that can be proven. This can be proven in a court of law. I just made a strong case. I didn't even get into the witnesses and all the other. I could go on and I could teach on this for weeks. Set up this case and I win this case. How do I know that? Lee Strobel has already done it in court. The case for Christ. Read the book. The case for Christ. He was an atheist. His wife got saved. He thought his life was over. Oh my goodness. Jesus coming in my house. Read the book. He was an attorney, a journalist, atheist. Started researching. I got to prove this guy never existed. I got to prove this all wrong. He got saved. He believed. He proved it beyond the doubts that exist in a court of law that it's real. See, I believe in something that can be proven. See, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And I believe in the Bible. But people don't believe because they don't want to change their ways. Uh-oh, that stepped hard. People don't want to believe because they don't want to change their ways. But as long as I've done what I was supposed to do, I'm not all right with that by any stretch of the imagination. But I've done what I was supposed to do. And I got to leave the rest to God. See, I lost the scripture. I got so excited I lost my little, it came out on me, 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Verse 17. And this is how I want, see, this is a primary reason for having the joy of salvation returned, restored. We read 16, right? Here's 17. So that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. For every good work. So the Sunday school lesson was on the gifts. Not everyone, but most of the classes were on gifts and serving the Lord with their gifts. The Bible being inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I believe this with all my heart. Every breath that I take, the Bible is real. Another thing, it's alive. I'm not talking about the book. I'm talking about the Word of God. And what happened to that centurion, to that jailer, let me rephrase it, the jailer with Paul and Silas, can happen to you. If you don't know him and you believe this, and you'll be saved. Saved from what? Well, if you'd have been here last Sunday, you'd have heard about sin. We heard a lot about sin. Well, that's still here. Sin is still an issue in our human nature. And it doesn't take much, right? I didn't make the brownies today. No brownies? You made a cake. So it's good. You weren't here last Sunday? I wanted to go out in the yard and find some stuff that the animals leave behind and just mix a little bit in the brownie mixture or the cake mixture. But see, if you want some with me? No, neither. I don't want them any either. Just takes a little bit, right? That's all it takes in life is a little bit of sin to give us that problem to separate us from God. And this tells me, the Bible is the Word of God. It tells me that He will save us from our sin. Jesus went to the cross and redeemed that. But the issue becomes the belief. And once we believe, here's the second part, we have to what? Turn. Repent. And that trips people up. But we're there to help out. It's a process. The Bible is true. Or I'd be wasting my time. And I'd be wasting your time. Time is precious. We were only given so many seconds to live. So many days, so many hours. There will be an end. There will be an end. But in the meantime, that point in life where we say, I believe in Jesus and I will follow him and I turn and he saves me, there is no end. There is eternity with the Lord Jesus. But for those who do not believe, I shudder to think what awaits them. Am I trying to scare you? No. This is the truth. And if you believe that, I'm here for you. I'm not going to judge you. Believe me, I'm not the judge. I am not worthy. I got a big old log sticking in my own eye. I try pulling it out. Jesus is the only one can do that. But we are here for each other. We're going to get through life together. It's one day at a time, one step at a time, as we move forward for the kingdom of God here at Spring Hill. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. It is the truth. It is real. I believe it. I was just so would want so many to just come to that belief, Father. But it does pain me. Some will not believe. Yeah, I do believe that Jesus wept many times for that as well. Even as he was going through his last week and his last few days on earth, he was scoffed, ridiculed, beat, pierced, hung on a cross. And he willingly gave up his life so that we would have the opportunity to come to the cross. And Lord, I want to pray, if there's someone here today dealing with that, that you would touch them. Because I believe the Bible is real. That it is the word of God, your Father. That you would reach out to them and that they could walk down this aisle. And Lord, for those who are here and are believers and are struggling with life, as we all do at times, let them reach out for this book to find comfort and peace, and knowing that there is a Creator. And all of these things that were spoken of many, many, many years ago are coming to fruition. And that tells me the end is coming. Let us be prepared, Father. Let us be prepared. So, Lord, if there's any of those, just come to the altar. Just lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Where would we be without the Word of God? In Jesus' name we pray.